very happy with them. In fact, I think one of the BCC people was the only person that ever scored perfectly on the exam that they gave. So that impressed them no end. So I think I've heard that story. At least I've heard the story. I guess I don't know whether it's accurate or not, but I've heard the story. So anyway, they like our people and they feel they're well prepared. So that is worth doing. Okay, we are back at looking at the beginnings of working with a database. So that's where I want to go today. So I'm going to go in and file, open project, and these are the ones that are out on the web. And yeah, what was the second one? Actually, I think I'll look at the first one again, just briefly, because there were...
That was on the website?
Yeah. Examples, and we're looking under the ADO stuff.
The donor one?
The donor one. And we'll look at that one first, and then we'll look at the book one. And then we are going to look at other ways of doing it after next week. Donor, there it is.
We'll get there, sort of Visual Basic.
Yeah.
It's running extremely slow today.
No,
I started this at like 20 past.
And somebody was sitting there. No, they weren't. They were sitting one over. They weren't sitting there. Okay.
Are we recording?
Huh?
Recording?
Yes, thank you. Good job.
Yeah.
Huh?
So I didn't remember that, but I didn't have to tell you about VB because I saw it up already, so.
That's good. I keep telling people I took this job because I had absent-minded under control. And I keep hearing about absent-minded professors, so I figured I was all set. Okay. So, what I've got here is I have a database out there. And the database is the donor database, and we've looked at that in other classes. So it is the donor database, and it is specifically donor ACCBB, okay, and that is the database. Now, if I were in reality and out in the world, the database is obviously going to be stored in a central location, and they're going to give me the address of where the database is located. But for our purposes, we're going to use the database, and we're going to include it in the package when you send me a program, okay? So if I go into here, okay, I got a little impatient there. And I look at this donor database, and I go inside and keep clicking bin and debug. There it is. So there is the database sitting there. And when I write the database, it will put it there. There's the database. If I have a database that I'm using, which is what we have mostly, then I want to locate my database here. I want to put it in the debug folder in part of the program. So all I did was I took my existing donor ACCDB, I made a copy of it, and I put it there. And that way I can access it just fine. Okay? And on the whole, that's what you're going to do, is just make it... you can make databases in Visual Basic. It's a lot easier to just go into whatever database you're using and make the database and bring it over, in my humble opinion. So you go into Access and make the database. I'm going to be out, as I said, next week. So next week is an online week, but it's mainly a help week. But what I do want people to do is, if they don't know how to make a database and access, figure that out next week. If you've forgotten how to do it. If you are not terribly comfortable with SQL, look up some stuff about SQL queries and just kind of get yourself comfortable with basic SQL queries.
That's just everything we did in 120, right?
Yeah, right, basically.
So I don't have seen that database file that I have.
We added that, no?
No,
I had it when I came in, because I kind of put it in. Oh, no, that was the
Oh, okay.
It should be... What, you found it?
No, I didn't get there.
Oh, okay. You basically click on a bunch of stuff until finally you get to bin debug. I mean, if you look over here, I've had to click on it a couple of times to get in there. And that's my saving it and then my copying it and all that good stuff. But it is in the debug folder, which is in the bin folder, which is in it.
Yeah,
you got it? Okay. So, again, when I work with this, I am providing the default path. And the default path, it knows it's going in there. So if I run this, notice I've got two things up here, current path and constraint. And when we run this, I have a message box that tells you what those two are. Okay, so this is the first one. This is the current path. And it takes me to the debug folder. So this is, as far as it's concerned, the current path. Because my program is on my G drive, it's in those folders. That's the path. So your path is going to be different. It's whatever, wherever you've got that, wherever you unzipped it into. So this is the current path right up to the debug folder. Okay? Then the next thing basically says, okay, now I want you to include some other things along with the current path. So I've now got, the provider is Microsoft AE-Server, data source equals, and now I've got the current path, because I said data source equals, I concatenated it with current path, I concatenated it with slash donor ACCDB. So it can therefore find the database, okay? And I put these message boxes in just to show you what it's generating, but also, if it's not finding your database, I strongly suggest you put these in and see where it thinks you've got your database. Okay? So, that's the information for where it is. So, that's what I've done on the first two things. I've got the current path, and I've all set. Then I come down and I put in the SQL that is going to be the SQL that I look at. And for SQL, mainly we're going to be dealing with selects. And as I mentioned before, SQL very proudly tells you that there are a minimum number of instructions in SQL. What they don't mention is the 10,000 clauses that can go on a select statement. Okay? Because a select can be practically a whole program if you start getting carried away on it. And look, sometimes you have to. So, I've got here a select, and I've got a series of selects, but this basically says I want to see DID number, which is the name of one of my fields, DNAME from donor 2000. So donor 2000 is a table on the donor ACCDB. Okay, so I've got to use a table on that database that I'm using. Where, and then I put where the ID number is greater than, and I pick 22222, so I put a where condition on there. Where condition could be anything I want. I just have a where condition where I want ID is greater than that number. Okay? And my main purpose was I wanted to have a where. And so then I did a message box that chose the SQL string. Now the next thing is this dim data adapter as, and we're going to look at other versions of this, but for now we're going with this. And we're going to say SQL string, connection string. Okay, so this is where I am linking the SQL that I want with the location of the database. So I'm linking those two together. Okay? And then I say fill donor DT. Well, if you look up at the top, I define donor DT as a data table. So I'm basically saying fill that data table using the data adapter. Okay, so I now have the stuff in the table. I can now, if I want to dispose of the adapter, you don't have to, but if you have a great big thing going on, it's probably easier to dispose of it. And then I am doing the fill text boxes. And the fill text boxes will put the data into my text boxes. So. Hello? I think I'm supposed to be patient now. Yes, see? Just supposed to be patient. Okay. And if I clicked on things, I'd be in trouble. So I am now putting the data into my boxes by saying fill text boxes. I have the full fill text boxes as part of the load so that it goes in when the program starts. If I didn't have that, it would have come up with a blank screen, and I could have just filled it by clicking on Read Next, and Read Next would have filled it. But I filled it with the first record right in the load so that it came up with the first record. Again, if I don't want to do that, then I just control it out of the read. So I have the read text box. And the read text box is controlling my index. So I'm saying if real index is less than the count minus one, then add one and do a fill. Otherwise, and as I told you last time, I'm looping back. So I'm not ending, I'm just looping back and going through this thing again and again and again. So I set the code to zero and then say fill the text boxes and the first record comes up again. Now, the fill text boxes is down here, and again, there's a lot of ways of doing this. We're going to look at some other ways, but for now, I'm going through this approach. And this one says text DID number dot text equals convert to string donor DT. Remember, that's the table that we filled. Donor DT is the table we filled. Rows that row index is pointing to, and row index I'm manipulating up there. So if it's a zero, it's pointing to the first record. If it's a one, it's pointing to the next record, and so forth. So I'm manipulating it up there, and then I'm saying what I want to put in there is specifically the DID number. Okay? So that puts it in, and when I read next, I move on to the next and keep going through here. Okay, and again, I have it set up so that it does a rerun. Questions? Okay. Then we're going to look at the next one, whatever the next one is. Book ADO. Now, your book, I would ignore for a little while. Your book does more using the wizard, and we're going to come back and use the wizard. Your book also wants to use SQL Server, and we'll go back and use SQL Server. And we're also going to look at WebMatrix, which is a program that is really effective at working through this. And that uses SQL Server, so we're going to look at that as well in there. But for right now, just to get started, we're using Access. Access not being the most credible database in the world. So, you know, small company, yeah, big company, we'll move on to something better. Okay, so on this one, I basically had the same setup. Okay, you can see the same setup that I had in the other one. And on this one, I'm using a book table that I had developed apparently. And I'm saying select asterisk from book. And book is a table within books09.acccdb. Okay?
So,
what I've got going on here is if I run this, okay, I can now read next and move through, and that works just like it did in the other one. Or I can say find, and I can say, I think this is one of the ones, CGI Pearl, and say okay, and it finds the book. So in this one, I've got it going out and doing a search and finding the book. Okay. So this is basically a search routine that we have looked at before, where I am searching and looking for a matching title. So I said, okay, input box, enter the title you're searching for. And so now I'm saying, do while the search index is less than, okay, and found title equals false, which is the same search that I've been doing before. And then I say, okay, if book DT rows search index title equals to find title, okay? So I'm saying the row and whatever the search index is, because I am varying the search index as we move through here. So I'm saying if the row that the search index is currently pointing to, if its title is equal to the to find title, then I say found is true and put the search index into the row index. Else, I add one and I keep searching. If I find it, I want the row index because when I go and do the fill, it's looking for row index. That's what I had in there for row index. So I'm saying make the search thing equal to the row index. And if I get through this and I haven't found it, then I put out title not found. And I spaced out the ISBN because I can't know what that is. So if I put in ABC, whoops, find, and I put in ABC, it comes back and says title not found. Okay, so I don't have that title in there. And obviously if it's not found, it can't give me an ISBN, so I'm all set. So this is basically the same program except that I threw in the search.
Now you can only read these files, right? You can't add to it?
Oh yeah.
Oh, later on.
Yeah, we'll get to it. Well, we're going to update them.
Okay.
But that ain't happening today.
Yeah, well, I know. Probably just wondering if it was just a read, like only type thing.
No.
You could actually add from
yeah.
the program.
Yeah, yeah. Now I can go in and insert records in and I can delete records. And that's where we traditionally find that, especially if you use the wizard, there are some not so pretty things that sometimes happen if you're not very precise. Which is why we're going to look at WebMatrix. Huh?
So just went down all the bank accounts.
Okay, so the next one is ADD current 12, whatever that is. I actually did look these over, but now I can't remember which one is which. Current. Okay, this one is using what is called a currency manager. You know, on the row index, I was handling it the way I wanted to handle it. Now I'm going to using something that they provide, which is the currency manager. So I dimmed the currency manager as currency manager. Okay? And then I went through, and now I've got those buttons at the front that allow me to go to the last record, the previous record, the next record, the first record, and bump all around there on that. And that's using the currency manager. So I've set up the currency manager up at the top, and then each of these buttons, button first says currency manager, position zero. Okay, so I'm going to go to position zero. Previous and last and next, rather, check to see if I'm going to go out of the file. Previous checks to see if I'm going past the beginning point. Last checks to see if I'm going past the end point. Next. Last just says take the count minus one. Because it starts with zero, so take the count minus one. And that's where it goes. But with both previous and next, I have to check and make sure that I'm not going to send it out if I add one or subtract one. Okay? So, when I use the currency manager, I set it up and I say, okay, currency manager equals, and I bind this binding. I say I want to bind it to what's happening, basically. So I'm binding it to book DT. So I'm saying I have to put in that line that binds the currency manager to the table that it's going to be going through so that it keeps track of where it's going in that table. And when I move the stuff out, I am going to refer to the data binding and say I want to add to the text box using the data binding. And the data binding is basically keeps track of where I am. That's what it's doing, is it's keeping track of where I am in the table. So I want to put in, and I'm putting in text from book DT, and the particular field is ISBN. Okay. So you can go either way. You can use the row index the way I used, or you can use the currency manager. And if you're getting into going previous, next, and all the rest, the currency manager can be real helpful. And so that's why I put in the currency manager here. Questions. And I mean, these are remarkably simple copy and paste. I mean, these really are. There's no creativity in the coding here. It's just once I set up the currency manager, then I know what first is, I know what last is, I know what next is, and previous. And so it's just, it's a matter of checking to make sure that I haven't gone past the end or past the beginning. And that's all I really need to check. Okay. Next. VB Grid. This is real easy. All I've got on here is a grid, and it's called the data grid view.
Okay, so you can go to the toolbox and find data grid view, and that's what I put up there. And I made it the full size of the thing, so I've got my data grid view up there.
And basically, this is where I learned that if I can right-click on this and say view code, then I am a lot better off than clicking on it, and it makes things happen back there. So I've just got view code, because everything is happening in the form load.
Okay, so if I click on the grid, it will make a new sub for me on the grid, but that's not really what I want. So
if I run this, it fills the grid.
Okay, so I've now got a grid full of data from the table, and it is showing me all of my data.
And I didn't make it big enough to show me everything, so it gives me a scroll bar to scroll over and a scroll bar to scroll up and down. Okay? So it's giving me all of that. And the code is simply to say the data source for the grid bar.
So this is my grid. Grid basic 12. And all I did was say the data source is bookkeeping. And because I said select asterisk from book, I saw all of my data. If I had specified specific fields there that I wanted to see, as opposed to everything, then it would just show me those fields, because it's showing me whatever is in SQL string. Okay, but when I used an asterisk, then it showed me everything.
But if I had just said show me title, topic, publisher, or something like that, then that's all I would see.
But this gives you a grid of the data that you can just scroll through.
Questions?
Did you have to set up that grid?
No, just magic. Just dragged it over and it just magically filled in the names. Now, you can go in, and I've forgotten how to do it, but if you don't like using a field name as a title, you can go in and modify those and do a lot of that kind of stuff. But I basically was very happy with just seeing the field name up there, so that worked.
It works good. It's better than the DB6.
Yeah. Okay. Eventually we'll get to some that are a little more challenging.
Well, this gets challenging once you assign homework.
Yeah.
In class, it's easy. We just got to listen.
Bind on click. I don't remember what that one is either. This is terrible. I looked at them not that far long ago. I think it was actually over the weekend. Basically, all this does is I moved the stuff off the main form and put it out here and made it public so it's available. And when it needs it, it just goes and gets it. So when I say use the data adapter, it goes and gets it. So this really wasn't anything much other than that. And I went back to using a row index here. Actually, that's really about all I did there, is I just moved it off to a module.
So I moved that stuff off to a module, but as soon as I do the data adapter, it moves, it's got to find the data adapter and all that stuff, and it finds all that stuff in the public module.
So this one really does exactly the same things that I did. I said load the data, and then I said next, and it just keeps going through. Okay. So, what's the next one? Combine with SQL and difference. Those are the ones that start to get a little bit more interesting, I think. So combine with SQL. Actually, no, we're not at interesting yet. The only thing I did here is I combined three tables. So, if you look at the results, and I will run this one. Yes. I've got three fields there. And the three fields are the donor's name, the donor's bride name they gave to, and the amount of the contribution. Okay, so John Doe gave to two different brides, and that was the amount of the contribution. So that is the complete SQL, and so this is probably getting beyond 120 now. Okay, so I'm saying I want these three fields from, and I list the three tables, because the D name came from donor, the drive name came from drive, and the contribution came from donation. Okay, so I've got three different tables going on here to get this data. And when I have three tables, the critical thing is that I link these tables. So here is where I link them. When I say where the ID number in the donor table equals the ID number in the donation table, and the donation, the drive number equals the drive number. So what I've got is I've got the donor table, the donation table, and the drive table. And DID number appears on both of these, because the DID number is the donor ID. And so that appears on both the donor and the donation. And so my link between these two tables is to have this line right there, that part of the line, where I say where the donor ID equals the donation ID. Now, on here, the donation, I also have the D drive number. And on the drive, I have the D drive number. That's what links these two tables together. So I have to put that linkage up there. And there's a second way of doing it in SQL, which is the join. You can do it either way. I just think the where is clearer, so I like the where. But you can use the join, and it works just fine. So I've linked these two tables. If I didn't have that where clause, I would get every possible combination. Okay? Because it gives me every possible combination. So it would combine the first donor record with all of the donation records, with all of the drive records, and it would go on absolutely forever. Okay? So it is a definite thing that you have to have the where clause that links them together. And what the where clause is, so if I take out the where clause, come on. If I take out the where clause, come on. Oh, I'm running, so I can't. In a minute, I can. Come on. There. That's where I want to be. And I run this. Okay. I've got, well, you can see it there. I've got every possible combination. So I just go through and there are loads and loads and loads of combinations.
Are they correct though?
No. Well, I mean, no, because John Doe, okay, John Doe, I think John Doe gave twice, right?
Okay.
I think when we ran it the original time, John Doe gave twice.
Yeah.
Okay. Now John Doe has given the $1,000 that he gave to one of them, and I don't know which drive he gave it to. But he's now given that $1,000 to every single drive. Okay, and if I go down a little bit further, he'll pop up again, and there he's given his $500 to every single drive.
Yeah, he didn't give it that.
He didn't?
No, he gave $1,200 or $500, so that's what I meant. Is it taking, like, other people's donations and putting it away?
No.
Well, that's it.
Am I getting... Yeah, I guess I am getting every possible combination I would. You're right.
Okay.
So I'm getting the 600s for him, and then eventually I'll get to the 1200s for him, wherever that is. Yes, I'm getting every possible combination.
Okay.
So he's getting credit for all the donations to all the drives.
Well, everybody.
Right. If I go back in and do a order by... drive name, D, or name rather, DNAME, and then run that. Okay, so now I've got all of John Doe together. So there's, we're still doing John Doe. So you can see all of the possible combinations. And there is his 1,200 that he eventually
gets
credit for. So there's his 1,200, but I've got every possible combination. So he's getting everybody else's, and he's also giving to even his donations, he's given to all the drives, because he gave the 1,200 to one drive, and now he's giving it to all of them. So, not a good thing. So, what I want to do in that case is make sure that I link. And if I don't link, oh, come on. I don't want to retype that. So, we'll just leave it for now. Because I really thought I'd save it. And I really don't want to retype it. But it gave you just... the ones where the ID equaled the ID and the drive number equals the drive number. And so it did the linking. Now, DID, when you do linking, you use keys. And DID is the key on the donor table. It is actually part of the key on the donation, but it doesn't have to be. It has to be a key one place. And the drive number is the key on the drive table, and it's actually part of it on the donation table. So if you go in and look at that access database, you'll actually see the keys listed. Okay. Okay. Next one is... SQL different code. So I'm going to do a file, close solution. Apparently it did save it. File, open project. Now what is it I'm looking for?
Different code.
Thank you. It's nice somebody listens to me. Which one? SQL different code, yes. Oh, that still isn't getting to the one that I wanted. Okay, this one
is basically I've got two different select statements. So if I want to, I can say, if you want to see all the students, click on this button. If you just want to see the CI students, click on the other button. And you can see that I have different SQL statements. Here I'm saying select asterisks from tables do where major equals CI. And on the other one, I'm just saying select asterisks from tables STU.
And when I scroll over to another line, I put that underscore in, I close the quotes, concatenate with underscore, and I can do that, which basically is a continuation.
I don't think I'd bother with that, but I just kind of, you see that sometimes, I wanted to show it. So, depending on which one I click, I will show different things. And I do a clear before I do a fill. So I did a clear on each of these. So I did the clear, and then filled it so that I'm filling it fresh, not with something that's left over from another event. So I did one, I do a clear to clear out what's in the table, and then I fill the table. So depending on what people want to see, they can click a different button and see, okay, just I want to see everybody. I want to just see by major. And they can see whatever it is. Okay, so if I just say, show me CI students, it just has next, they're all CI students. I'm not seeing anything but CI students. If I say all students, then I've got a bunch of different majors in there. We're going through these fast. Okay, SQL, let's see, donor to tables. Okay, that one I think is actually one of the interesting ones. Yeah, right. You're supposed to know that, remember? Donor to tables. Okay, now on this one, I have got the two tables showing up in different ways. I've got one table that's going to fill text boxes up here, and I've got one table that's going to fill a grid. Okay. So, if I come in here and I click on start, and there's the first person, and the grid, I started out showing everything. So I've got the first person. If I want to match, I click on match, and I now just have the transactions that go with the first person. If I move on to the next one and I do a match, he didn't do anything. Move on to the next one and do a match, and there's Mary. Next. So every time as I move through these, I'm getting the transactions that go with the specific person. So the next moves me through the donor file. The next and the previous move me through the donor file, and the match brings up the appropriate transactions from the donation table. Okay, so I've got two tables going on here. So, first of all, I used a data set instead of a data table. Okay, so up at the top, I defined a data set as opposed to a data table. A
because I've got two tables going on. Now, on the previous one, I had three tables going on, but they were all being combined in the select, so there was only one thing that came out of the select. Here, I'm doing separate selects. So I've got a select, the ID number and the name from the donor, and so that is SQL donor. And then I said, okay, now select the transactions and show them as SQL donation. Okay. So then I said, okay, the data adapter, I'm going to link the SQL donor to the path, and I'm linking the SQL donation to the path, and I am filling donor DS and donation. Okay, I started to look at it and say, this is not what I wanted, but it is. Donor DS is the name of the data set. And then I'm specifically giving the table name here. So it says, fill the data set, but specifically this table. Fill the data set, specifically that table. So those two tables are in the data set. So I'm saying, fill those two tables that are within the data set. Yes, no? Okay.
So they both go into one?
No, the data set is made up of actually multiple tables. Actually, if you look down here, I actually refer to it, instead of by name, I refer to it by number. So in the data set, okay, in the data set, I have both of these things. I have SQL donor and SQL donation both put something in here. Okay, because I have two tables. I have that one and I have that one. And so they both have something in the data set. Okay? They both have something in the data set.
So they're both in donor DS.
Right. And I refer to them, however, by the name of the table. So this is the table name. And I can also refer to that as table 0. This is the table name. And I can also refer to that as table 1. So I've basically got those two tables up there because I set up two things. So I have the table that came from this setup, and I have the table that came from that setup. Okay, I've got the two going on, and I've got the table that came from those two selects. So I did two selects. One of them used the donor 2000, one used donation 2000. And I've got both of those selects, and those are essentially those tables that I used are in the data set. And so I can refer to them by name, as in donor 2000, donation 2000, or I can refer to them by number. This is the first one, so it's 0. This is the second one, so it's 1. Okay. I like preferring to them by name. I did put in one of them with the numbers. On the whole, I like referring to them by name for documentation more than anything else. It kind of tells me which is which, so even though that's more writing, I still think it's better documentation to use the name than it is to do it.
Yeah, especially if you have a lot of cool, because you ain't going to remember what 0 and 1 is.
Right. But this one, I did it, you know, both ways, and I commented on one of them. So, that's for the grid. That line down there is putting it in the grid. Okay, so up here, I defined the two selects, and then I did the adapter to adapt both of them to the path. And then I said, fill donor DS, specifically the donor 2000, and fill donor DS, specifically donation 2000. Okay?
again, DA donor, DA donor, DA donation, DA donation. So I linked the SQL to the path, and then I said, okay, now fill that. And I use the adapter name when I do the fill. And then I said, fill text boxes, which also filled the text boxes. And then I said, fill the grid, and this fills the grid. And again, if I didn't want to do that on the load, I could have left those both out and done them later on. But I wanted to do them on the load. So you saw that the first record, the fill text boxes brought up the first record, and the grid one brought up the grid. Okay? So now I've got everything ready the way I need to do it. I'm not sure I took a picture of that. Now, fill text boxes can be done either of those ways, with the zero or the name.
Okay, so again, I've got the fill text boxes using the name, and the fill text boxes using the zero. It's table zero. And you can choose which one you want to do. The rest is exactly the same.
But I can refer to the table by name, or I can refer to it by number. The key thing is here that I had to define up at the top a data set as opposed to a data table. A data table is a table. A data set can have multiple tables in it. Okay.
So once I decided I was doing a select from two tables and I was putting them in these places, then I needed to make it a data set and not a data table.
So then I came down, and the interesting part of this is I have two buttons, if you go back, next, previous, and then match. Three buttons, I can't count. Okay, so next and previous are just moving around.
And they are moving around within table zero. So next is moving on in table zero, and I'm making the check. Previous, apparently, I didn't bother to make a check. Okay.
So I just decided. But anyway, if I am referring to the table, it is to the donor table, which is table zero. So then I came down and I dimmed a row filter as string, and I want to have the DID number on the table equal to the DID number in the text box. Okay? So I've got, basically what I'm saying there is if I do a search, I want to have whatever is in this text box, I want to match to whatever is in down here. Okay? So I'm matching to whatever is in there.
So I'm saying what's in the text box has got to match to the DID number, which is in the grid. Okay? So the row filter is going to be that I want to do that. So I'm setting up the row filter. It's not doing anything. I'm going to do it down here where I set up a new data view.
So I defined what I wanted the filter to do, and that is I wanted to filter out all records that don't match the ID that's in the text box. So I wanted to filter out all of those. And then I came down and said, okay, I'm going to define a data view. And as in a lot of other things, when you define it, you do a new, meaning a new instance of the object.
So I'm making a new data view. And I'm saying, donor DS, the table that I want is donation 2000. Because that's what I want in the grid, is donation 2000.
I want to use the row filter, so I write the word row filter. Okay? That next field is the field I want to sort on. Yours probably says DID number. Mine says D amount contribution, because I was playing with it. Okay, so I decided that I wanted to sort on the amount of the contribution, and notice it is. And if I go back to the previous one and do a match, okay, you can see that all of his donations are sorted. So this down here is the order. You notice how well the smart board is working and I just text it while speaking, but anyway. I'm actually able to write and not come back and have to hit my magic thing. And as I said, that's all over now. It won't happen again. But I have been writing.
I don't remember how you're doing it
this
class.
Pardon me?
Hasn't done it in this class, though.
What?
Where you couldn't write out a book.
Yeah, no. It's been wonderful, this class.
It's just CIS 120.
On wood right now.
Yeah, right. No, I don't know. I think it was this morning. No, this morning.
Yeah, we were having some problems.
Okay. So anyway, so this is basically saying, use this table, use the filter that I just set up there, use this order, this is the thing I want to order it by, and use the current rows. The current rows being the ones that currently have been selected. And so it will then give me that. Okay, and as I said, I had DID number there on yours, and I went back and changed it and decided to leave it there because that reminded me to say something because somebody was sure to say, it says DID number there. Okay. But that gives me my order. So that's kind of a neat thing, a way of combining the tables and seeing the information about the person and then the information about their donation. Questions.
Is it better to do this on Visual Studio, or why wouldn't you just use Access?
If you basically, you can. But if you want a program that's going to run, and this is part of a program, then you'd put it in there. I mean, we're focusing on the database, but there could be other things happening in the program.
Okay.
Where I'm doing other things.
This is making a program that's going to use a database as opposed to just playing with the database.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, every programming language has the ability to incorporate a database material into the language. Or everyone with any credibility, shall we say, allows you to incorporate, you know, using the database in there so that people... What I can do now is I set this up for a user. Don't forget your goal is for a user. So the user can now go in and do this without having to understand Access at all. They can just click on the magic match button and they get the stuff without understanding Access.
Okay. Yeah, this boss needs.
Huh?
So my mother's boss needs, because he just cannot. my job, she's almost like, every day, he's like, how do you get to this? And she's like, how are you my boss?
We won't mention anything more than that since you are being recorded. Okay, questions? And what was that one? That was donor two tables, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the next one is the one where I can't spell. That's supposed to be two grids, not toe grids. So this one basically just has two grids set up. Okay, so if I start this,
I have the donors on one and the donations on the other. And if I click on somebody and say process, I just get their records. And I click on somebody and say process, I just get their records.
Okay. So I've got all of my donors showing over there, if that's the way I want to see it. But I can still do what I did on the other one and bring up just the donations from that particular donor.
Okay, but this shows all of the donors at the same time. So again, I need a data set because I'm using two tables. And I selected certain fields from donor, and I think I selected all of them from donation. And I started out by ordering them by DID number. That's the way I wanted to see it at the beginning. I just basically decided I thought I'd like to see them grouped in there, and I could have ordered the donors by something too. If I wanted to have them ordered by state or something, I could have done that.
It's all one line, right? From the DIM, the data source there, you just broke it down so it's not going.
Yeah, right. But it's all one line, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so now I've come down and I've said there's two ways that I could take things in. I could ask in an input box, tell me what number you want to see. Or I can say basically use the current cell, use the value in the current cell. So I have the grid donor. I just said, okay, I've got grid donor and I've got grid donation. I got them both. Okay, I've got grid donor and I've got grid donation. So I'm saying pick the number here. And then process. Okay, so I'm saying take the current cell and put that into current donor. Then set up the filter the same way. And I want to now have the DID number equal to what is in current donor. And current donor, again, could be gotten by prompting the user to type in a number or by just saying click on it here. And we'll use the current cell. So I could go either way. The less you have your user key in, the less mistakes there are. So better that they click on something than key it in. Because they'll do it wrong some of the time at least. Okay, so then I came down and I set up my rule filter and I went in again and just went in and said go to donation. Use the row filter, take out the DID number. So it's exactly the same filter that I used on the other one. And make that the data source for the grid. So the data view of DV donation is now become the data source for the grid. When I started, my data source was this. And this one, notice I used 0 and 1. But that was the data source for the grid. Questions? Does it all make sense? Terrific. Oh, I think definitely. But if it makes sense, at least initially, then I have no idea what the last one is. I don't even remember looking at it. Query diff. I may have just gotten sick of it by the time I got to that one. File, close solution. Oh, this is simply another version of the I can have different versions, and I did not look at it. But this is simply another one that I can have different buttons.
have different selects going on depending on the buttons that I want. And I obviously went in and put in a whole lot of different options.
But depending on which button I click on, I'm going to see different stuff because it's going to different places. So check major, enter the major you want, CI. As I said, I completely forgot to... Okay, select. And there are the CI majors. So if I go next, and then if I said check GPA, so basically I'm able to... And this is basically a way to present to my user. Depends on how you want to see the data. Click on the button. If you want to see it by GPA, click on check GPA and enter the GPA you want. Enter the low here, so I want 3 to 4. And everybody should therefore be in the range of 3 to 4. Okay? And if I go and look at that, I'm sure it's going to have a select between, and I use the select between. So I said select between the low GPA and the high GPA. So notice how I had to write it between and then put that in there to get low GPA. And then I have to write and then put that in there to get the high GPA. So, that does it. We got out early today. I talked fast. Okay, I'm done. I will put out, needless to say, an assignment for this week. But I think next week I'm going to say I just want you to review SQL and review Access and spend your time going back over that stuff. Huh?
I don't really remember anything about Access.
Well, I mean, you know.
Because I've been so much doing the SQL
right.
stuff.
But, I mean, if you go back in and look at Access and look at SQL and look at the select statements especially, anybody that didn't take the Oracle class, you'll find the first few sections of the Oracle class go into that a lot. The first few sections of the PHP class have a lot about SQL. Actually, if you go to the PHP class, which is 159,
you have notes up. You have the beginner notes that will tell you the select statements you can use if you
right.
need to. So
that's pretty good. So what week were we on when we started? Beginning at my SQL notes. So these are, if you look here, these were beginning my SQL notes. And you don't have to worry about PuTTY. But if you look at the beginning my SQL notes, I think these pretty much will cover most everything you need to know.
Yeah. Those and the other one is more SQL.
So once you get past here, that's actually how to update, but I have select, and then I have all of the different kinds of select. Select where major equals CI or GPA, select where, and then I believe if you keep going, it goes into the between. Distinct was back there. There's the between. So basically, if you kind of go over this, this is where all names are like any number, one character and then A, and then any number of characters. The underscore means one character, and so there's one character before the A, and then any number of characters after the A. And so that would give you Mary Smith, because A is the second character, and David, because that's the second character. No, we won't get to flipping the names.
Oh, my God. I was just kidding. You don't want to know.
Just turn that in.
Yeah, they have to, you have to do that.
Yeah. Oh, we have to do it in this class. And I haven't done it yet.
Yeah. I just turned it in, like,
That one's tough.
I got turned into Tuesday.
Okay.
Yesterday.
Yeah, no. Yesterday I got to come on campus for meetings. So my correcting time bit the dust while I came to meetings.
Well, I tried to YouTube the main thing, and they had everything about how to use substring and end string.
There's a lot of enthusiastic people coming into this class.
Yeah. We got a quiz today. Let's watch.
Okay. So. Yeah. All righty. So anyway, that's what I want, and I will post that, is I would like you to spend the time reviewing Access and reviewing SQL.
So are you
going to
review send a resume over there, or...